Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, June the 19th. And we'll talk with a guest this hour about the cesarean section rate in the United States. A story in the news this weekend. It was in the Philadelphia Inquirer and reprinted in La Crosse Tribune. Wondered why the C-section rate in this country is about one third of the total 4.1 million births. A record one in three women have a surgical C-section to deliver their babies, and critics of unnecessary C-sections fear the number will continue to grow as it has been growing for the past decade. Why is this, and what can be done about it? And on the other hand, is there anything really wrong with a C-section rate of one in three births? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll wonder if more women want C-sections. Is that why this is happening? Is this because there are more reasons, pregnancy complications that call for C-sections? Are doctors scaring women into having C-sections? Is it more convenient for doctors? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Maybe you can even share your own experience. Have you ever had a C-section? And what were the circumstances? Our guest is Pamela Udy. She is president of the International Cesarean Awareness Network, and she had two of her children by the cesarean method and three others naturally. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why do you think the C-section rate in this country is one in three?
Well, the reasons the rising cesarean rate has gone up are many-fold. First of all, there's a low priority on women enhancing their birth experience and a low trust of their own bodies to give birth. There's also all the side effects of common labor interventions that can interfere with labor and increase the cesarean rate. There's the refusal of the obstetric community to offer informed choice and of a vaginal birth after a cesarean. And then there's casual attitudes toward surgery and cesareans in particular.
Yeah. According to this article, it could be even higher. The article says in Puerto Rico, it's one in two. Half of the births are by C-section there.
It is really sad. And there are hospitals in the United States where it is 50% or higher. The 30% is an average across the country.
Yeah, so why is this concerning to you?
Well, it's concerning to us because the infant mortality and morbidity rate has not gone down. It is, there are many complications that come with cesareans, and we're exposing ourselves as mothers and our babies to higher risk.
Yeah, in fact, the article also pointed out that earlier this spring, doesn't say exactly when, at a New Jersey hospital, two women who I think that they both died very shortly near each other after having cesarean sections.
They did. Valerie and Melissa worked at the same school. They were teachers. The school threw them a combined baby shower. They had cesareans at the same hospital within about 2 weeks of each other. One passed away during surgery and one passed away shortly after. Our hearts just go out to the families of these women, and the community at large suffered a great loss of these wonderful mothers.
Yeah, and at least, I don't know if this is a state-by-state thing, but there was a big rally to lobby for laws in New Jersey that would force hospitals to disclose their C-section rates?
Yes, that should be public information for women so that they can make informed choices about their care providers and the hospitals that they are going to. New Jersey has one of the highest cesarean rates in the country, and obviously women and children are being hurt by that.
We are talking with Pamela Udy. She is president of the International Cesarean Awareness Network, talking about the growing C-section rate in this country, and we'll talk some about what women might do to discourage doctors from giving them C-sections. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. Coming up later this afternoon, you don't have to be a Bill Gates to change lives. After 3 on Here on Earth, Jean Farrakh and her guests will talk about the revolutionary micro-lending website. Is it Kiva.org? Talk about that after 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking this hour about the growing C-section rate in the U.S. with a guest who says there are too many unnecessary C-sections being performed in the U.S., and we wonder if you agree or not, or what questions you have, or maybe you even have your own experience to share. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Pamela Udy is president of the International Cesarean Awareness Network. And Pamela, you had two C-sections and delivered three other babies vaginally. What was the difference? Why were two C-sections?
My first two babies were cesareans, and I believe the cause was my own fear about giving birth combined with a doctor that it just didn't matter to him which way I gave birth, and it was easier and more convenient for him to just schedule a cesarean instead of informing and educating me about risk and benefits of both. And so it wasn't until my third pregnancy that I began to read and educate myself about pregnancy and birth. I hired a doula and changed doctors at 36 weeks and had a wonderful vaginal birth after a cesarean.
And a lot of, I remember, I don't know, way back when, it used to be considered if you had a C-section or a cesarean for one baby, you often were told you had to have them for all babies.
Well, unfortunately, women are still being told that today. I would encourage every woman who's had a prior cesarean to get their medical records from their hospitals, find out what doctor's notes were made in their records, and to find out the justification for surgery. And then look at the risk and benefits of having a VBAC versus an elective repeat cesarean. Find out if there is a medical reason for having a repeat cesarean. Even ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, says that having a prior cesarean does not exclude you from having or a trial of labor in your next pregnancy.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, you said a VBAC?
A VBAC. I'm sorry, that is short for vaginal birth after cesarean.
I see. Well, we have lots of callers, so let's go first to Debbie in Watertown. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I guess, yeah, I'm concerned about rising cesareans, too. I think sometimes people choose that because it's more convenient in their schedule, and getting more education out there is a good thing. I've actually, all three of my boys were born by cesarean. The first one was a 33-hour labor and 4 hours of pushing and just didn't come out. They all were over 9 pounds, 9'4", 9'10", and 9'13". I was offered the option of the vaginal the second time. Unfortunately, there was some distress during contractions, and so we did opt for the cesarean. I can't imagine women choosing that option, having been through it three times. although it wasn't, you know, the worst experience in my life, it certainly isn't necessarily a pleasant thing to go through and the recovery from. I would have certainly preferred to have vaginal birth, but it just didn't work out that way. I'm wondering what you think in terms of malpractice insurance, and are some doctors, you know, quick maybe to go to a cesarean when there is some distress because they're concerned about a bad outcome and having the cesarean is going to be easier on the baby?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Liability does play a factor in the doctors kind of encouraging cesareans. They're under the impression that if they do a cesarean, then they've done all they can do, and that it lowers their risk of being sued. The problem with that perception is that it assumes that a cesarean guarantees a healthy baby and a healthy mom, and it doesn't. I applaud you for attempting a vaginal birth, both in your first baby and with your second baby. That can be a difficult thing, and unfortunately, unlike you, a lot of women are not even being given a choice. They're just being told that they have to have another cesarean.
Yeah, on your list on tips to prevent a cesarean, you do have be wary of reasons for cesarean, like you're overdue, your baby is too big, you're too small, you're low on fluid, your baby is breech. Many of these issues are non-issues and very fixable.
That's correct. If your doctor's telling you, oh, no, you're for sure having a 9-pound baby, or a 10-pound baby, or even an 11-pound baby, I don't believe that your body's going to grow a baby too big for you to birth. I think that the big baby thing is a little bit of a myth, and I know that we're talking to a mom mm-hmm. with 9-pound babies, but a lot of it is fetal position. And a lot of times moms are just told, oh, baby's head down, so you're good to go. And unfortunately, babies need a little more encouragement to do that. And there are things that you can do to encourage a good position for baby to be born. There's also epidurals play a factor in that. If you have an epidural, your mobility is lowered. You can't get up and move around. You can't listen to your body to get into a good position to birth.
Right. You know, if I haven't had any children, but I think I would be terrified if my doctor said your baby's in distress, maybe its heartbeat or something was not what it should be, and the doctor said we need to do a C-section. In that case, is it medically warranted?
Well, and fortunately, the only thing that continued monitoring during labor has done is raise the cesarean rate. It has not improved outcome for babies.
Mm.
There are things that you can do. We just talked about not having an epidural and being able to move. Sometimes you get into labor and you get into a pattern and you just get stuck there, and sometimes baby needs you to move. And if you have an epidural, you can't do that. But if you don't have an epidural and baby has a couple of D-cells or gets into a little bit of distress, sometimes all you have to do is get up and walk for a minute, change positions, turn over on your other side, sit up a little bit, even a little bit of oxygen. It doesn't have to mean a crash run to mm-hmm. the surgical suite.
I'm going to go next to Cheryl in Cumberland. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. You know, I think the education piece is very important. When I had my children, both of whom were born by cesarean section, I actually went to a practice that had OBGYNs and nurse midwives. My intention was to, you know, go through labor, and I was quite educated. My first son was an emergency cesarean because of the distress, and I am the cord was around his neck, and if he had been born vaginally, I do believe that I would have a serious special needs child. Not that I wouldn't have loved him, but, you know, I have a normal, healthy, happy child. And my second son was born cesarean section because despite all of the things that we tried, he was a rear-end first breach, and to attempt vaginal birth after that was not either the nurse midwives or the physician's judgment. And I agreed with that at the risk of the child. My concern is that we would go too far, that people would, after having the children, I had a woman tell me, well, you know, do you feel like you're less of a mother or less of a woman because you gave birth via cesarean versus vaginally? And my sense was, you know, I have two healthy babies. That's all I care about. That's, you know, how mm-hmm. how they came out is as long as they're healthy. That was what was important to me.
Mm-hmm. Pamela Udy.
Right. I'm going to talk first about the breech. If you have a breech baby, there are many things that you can do to try to term baby. There are several websites. One is spinningbabies.org, I believe. And our own website, ICANN-online.org, has suggestions for turning babies. Sometimes babies don't want to be turned, and in that case, I myself would not attempt a vaginal birth if I did not have a doctor that was comfortable and skilled in it. We have doctors in my area who are skilled and are comfortable doing a frank breech like your baby was. But if the care provider is not skilled and comfortable in doing it, then, you know, that's one of the biggest factors for getting a breech baby here safely. The other thing I'm going to talk about just for a minute is as long as baby's healthy. And that one just breaks my heart, because what happens when baby isn't healthy? A cesarean does not guarantee a healthy mom and a healthy baby. And certainly it does not make any woman less of a mother to have a cesarean and have her baby come into the world that way. However, it is not usually the empowering, awesome, growing experience that a vaginal birth can be. However, some women feel that they gave everything that they could when they walked into that operating room to have a cesarean. ICANN works with mom in recovering from cesareans, both with physical tips and emotional tips on healing. We certainly do not want to look down on or tell any woman that she's less of a woman or less of a mother for giving, you know, for having their baby that way.
I need to jump in here because we're at a news break time, and then we'll continue, though, after news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Pamela Udy, president of the International Cesarean Awareness Network, talking about the increase in the C-section rate in the United States. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Tuesday, June the 19th. We're talking this hour with a guest about the number of cesarean sections performed in this country each year. Story in the news this week, and wondered why the C-section rate continues to grow. It's about 1 in 3 births on average across the country, 1/3 of the 4+ million births each year in the United States. We're wondering why this is and whether anything could or should be done about it to reduce the number of C-sections performed. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email with your question, comment, or maybe experience to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is with the Cesarean Awareness Network, the International Cesarean Awareness Network. She's giving us her take on these numbers, providing suggestions on how the C-section rate might be reduced and how women can avoid or try to avoid having an unnecessary C-section. She is Pamela Udy, and she gave birth to 2 children by the cesarean method, but also 3 naturally or vaginally. Our next caller is Dawn in Clintonville. Hi, Dawn. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question is, I had my first son by cesarean, and then I had my daughter VBAC, and it was medically necessary to have both of them the way that they were. But my question is, I saw the bill from the hospital after the birth of both of my children, mm-hmm. and my son's bill for the cesarean was substantially higher. Hospitals are in the business world. They do need to make a profit. So is it more profitable for a hospital to give a woman a cesarean as opposed to a vaginal birth?
Yes, it is. I met with my local hospital administrators at one point a few years ago, and he actually told me that the most profitable, economical, efficient way to deliver babies would just be to schedule them 9 to 5, cesareans, and, you know, and he wasn't advocating that that happen, of course, it were his words, but that, you know, that would be the most economical way to do it. I've seen a breakdown of the hospital cost for my state, and the cesarean charges are substantially higher than for vaginal birth. Even if the cesarean does not cost more, it is more efficient, and they're able to do more births, more surgeries. It's more time efficient, which saves them money. So either way, they're able to make more with a scheduled cesarean than with a vaginal birth.
Thank you, Dawn, for the call. Elaine in Springboro, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Great show. I've been a proponent of not cesarean, if at all possible. I've been teaching women's health at the college level for off and on for 20 years. Plus, I was a proponent for a cesarean myself. I had a 12-pound baby and a 10-pound baby, and I'm a very small-framed woman. But I also researched my doctors in the area, you know, their C-section rates. And at the time, I found the lowest rate in the state. It happened to be New York State. And because they were willing to work with me, letting me walk right till I, you know, pretty much till I was crowning, you know. But I think so much of it is lack of education. In my classroom, women are terrified of pain. Mm-hmm. All they talk about is epidurals and C-sections because mm-hmm. that's what their friends or their parents or their aunts have had. And I think doctors, with the malpractice, fear and everything else, they would just assume along with it. Even if they are not a proponent of C-sections, still that element of lawsuits.
Right.
Sure. Oh, how wonderful. Congratulations that you were able to deliver those babies yourself, and good job doing the research. Finding a good care provider is absolutely a key component to avoiding a cesarean and to having a good vaginal birth. And certainly women are not being consistent when they're afraid of pain, and so they choose a cesarean. What do they think the recovery is going to be?
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't sound very pleasant either. Yeah.
No, it's not. And every woman after having major abdominal surgery is going to be on pain relievers, medication, and the pain lasts substantially longer when recovering from surgery than when recovering from a vaginal birth.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about researching the C-section rate of individual doctors and what other choices women have if they want to avoid or prevent a cesarean.
Sure. Call up your doctor or several doctors in your area and ask for an appointment just to talk. You don't need to take any clothes off. You don't need to have any blood drawn. You're just going in to interview and talk with your doctor to find out whether you two mesh and are on the same page about what you would prefer for your care. Ask the doctor key issues for you. What's important to you during the birth? Ask them, if you've had a prior cesarean, ask how many women that they have supported through a VBAC or a vaginal birth after a cesarean. Ask them what their cesarean rate is, both for primary and for VBAC women. Ask how they manage a supposed big baby or a breech baby. If they're in a practice with several other doctors, ask, are they all on the same page? Do they all do VBAC? Are there some that won't do VBAC? Are there some that are more natural birth-minded, or are they all, go for that epidural? Ask.
Because if the other the other doctors in the practice could end up being your doctor.
They very much could. So ask what percentage that the doctor usually cares for himself during labor, how many, if there are certain times that he's unavailable. Does he have a vacation scheduled near your due date? Is there a holiday, at the end of your due date? How is he going to react to that? Is he going to encourage an induction because there's a holiday or a vacation coming up for him?
Let me go to another caller. Cheryl in Milwaukee. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I was calling because I was a mother pregnant with twins, and there was a very strong expectation when I was pregnant that they were going to do a C-section simply because I was pregnant with twins. My pregnancy was perfectly healthy, and I conceived naturally, but I know that there's a lot of women out there who are now conceiving through fertility drugs, hence an increased incident of multiple births and potentially then an increased incidence of cesarean sections.
Ah. Is that a factor here, do you think, Pamela Udy?
Oh, definitely. Especially in the case of fertility drugs, those babies are considered, not that every baby isn't, but in the eyes of the doctor, premium babies. Those are babies that the couple has spent thousands of dollars conceiving. And so they're going to be more concerned about liability and the issues there. There's a great book by Elizabeth Noble called Simply Having Twins, and you're going to have to do the research and find a care provider. If you're having twins, ask that question: how many twins have you delivered vaginally? What are your suggestions? What are you going to do to encourage vaginal birth, or are you just going to, like she said, expect me to have a cesarean?
Yeah. Cheryl, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
And you did not have a C-section?
Nope, I delivered naturally.
Yeah, and did your doctors try to twist your arm to do otherwise?
No, I actually was very lucky that I found a cooperative doctor, and I did make the search to make sure that I could find a doctor who was supportive of me having a vaginal birth. And I actually was induced because I became preeclamptic, and even then she stood by me and really wanting to support me in having a vaginal birth.
Oh, good.
Often if a doctor can see your commitment toward a vaginal birth, they will often support you in that. If you're, I don't know, I'm a little wishy-washy, and they see that too, and that is a little more concerning to them. If you're there saying, unless my baby's in danger or there's risk to me, then I want a vaginal birth, often they'll be a little more inclined to help you out with that.
We're going to check our weather forecast and then two more calls for Pamela Udy, president of the International Cesarean Awareness Network, talking with us about the growing C-section rate in the United States. One in three births, one-third is the average in this country. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, The Senate continues this week debating the new energy bill, and we'll talk with a guest who says although the bill seems positive in principle, it's important to know what kind of impact it will have on the environment and the consumer. We'll talk with a guest from the Natural Resources Defense Council coming up after 8 o'clock about Congress and the new energy bill. We're talking about cesarean sections and the growing C-section rate in this country. An article in the newspaper the other day was wondering why the C-section rate continues to grow in this country, and a lot of people saying that it's medically unnecessary to have so many C-sections, 1 in 3 surgical births in this country. And the article went on to say, and I'm wondering, Pamela Udy, if you agree or not, that its lead line here is for a peek into the future of childbirth, look to Puerto Rico, where nearly half of all babies are born by C-section. Do you see this as... much to your dismay, as a growing trend that that the C-section rate will just continue to grow?
I think it could be a trend. I'm hoping that women will find the strength and courage to stand up and say, this is not something that I want to see happening, and I'm a strong enough woman to ask my care provider for the vaginal birth that I want, and in some cases demand it from institutions and hospitals that are banning vaginal births after cesareans.
Yeah. Let me go to Anne in Darlington. Hi, Anne.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Miss Udy. I'm a physician practicing in Darlington, Wisconsin, and I just wanted to bring a little more information to your discussion. We are a small rural hospital. We used to do VBACs, and we still would like to do VBACs. A few years ago, our malpractice carriers told us that they would no longer cover us for any complications related to VBACs. One of the dangers of a VBAC, and this is very rare, but during contractions, the strength of the contractions can sometimes pull open the uterus, cause a hole in the uterus at the area where the previous scar was. When that happens, mother and baby can both die within a few minutes unless someone is there to do an immediate C-section. So a few years ago, our malpractice carriers stated that unless we had our entire OR crew, including the doctor, the anesthesiologist, and 4 nurses, standing by so that a C-section could be done within 10 minutes of this complication during the entire labor, they would not cover any complications resulting from a VBAC. This also means that in our small hospital, where we have only one OR, any surgical cases that were scheduled that day, like if someone was going to have their knee replaced, their gallbladder out, etc., those cases could not be done. The OR had to stand empty until this woman delivered, and sometimes that could be a day, 36 hours, and it's just not financially feasible. So it's not that physicians don't want to do the VBACs, but we are not willing to risk our entire earnings and homes, et cetera, to be able to provide the service.
Yeah, I appreciate your perspective. Pamela Udy, what do you think?
I think, no offense to this particular earnest physician, that physicians and insurance companies and hospitals have gotten really good at pointing the finger at each other and saying, it's your fault, you won't allow me to do this. The rules and regulations say this, and who's being caught in the middle? It's the woman who's trying to do what she feels is safest for her baby. I think it's... if a hospital is saying that it's not safe enough to have a VBAC mom laboring in their hospital, it's not safe for any birthing woman. Every labor has the potential risk of a cord prolapse, which happens about 3% of the time. a uterine rupture, which she so nicely described for us, happens in less than half of 1% of all VBAC cases. And it's true. It can be devastating. And it's also true that women need to have access to the OR when it's needed. But if you're saying that you can't care for a BVAC woman because of that little tiny little risk, then you're saying that you shouldn't be caring for any laboring woman. I think it's unconscionable that insurance companies, hospitals, and physicians are putting their bottom line, their insurance rates, the protecting of their pocketbook over the health and safety of mothers and babies. If they are so concerned about the risk of uterine rupture, why? Why are they doing 30% cesareans? It's not the VBAC that are putting women at risk. It is the first cesarean. Any woman who has had a prior cesarean, regardless of the method or mode of delivery in a second pregnancy, is at risk for uterine rupture even before labor starts. It is the cesareans that are putting women and babies at risk, not the VBACs.
Thanks again, Ann, for the call. Many others. I'd like to get to a few more calls. Laura in La Crosse. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am a midwife in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and I'm wondering if we've had any discussion about midwifery care and supporting women's choices for VBAC, because we do, and also in just supporting them in birth choices, because we do as midwives, and also echoing the strong points of your guest regarding VBAC. We're a relatively small hospital compared to where I trained out in Columbia in La Crosse, Wisconsin here, and we have had the full support of OR, anesthesia, and our obstetricians to support women in VBAC. So it can be done in a relatively small hospital, and we've done it here. The doctors have supported the midwives in doing VBACs, and the insurance carrier has supported that model. And but I do want to put a plug in there for midwifery, because we are at the root of supporting women in their birth choices with the ultimate goal of healthy baby, healthy mother.
Oh, well, thank you. I love my midwives. I had a hospital CNM with my VBAC baby. I changed to her at 36 weeks in my third pregnancy, and she was the supporting and encouraging factor for my VBAC. I was committed to doing it, but I interviewed when I realized that, finally, that my doctor was not going to be supportive of a VBAC. I interviewed probably four physicians, four OBs, before I found this wonderful midwife, and I thank her from the bottom of my heart for supporting and encouraging me, and definitely midwives are great option for VBAC women. You know, it goes the same thing you need to do with physicians. You need to interview, get their opinions and their biases to what they prefer and support and encourage. But midwives can be a great support for VBAC moms.
Thank you, Laura. Erin in Dodgeville, good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for this opportunity. I wanted to point out another study out there that I think really points to the unnecessariness of the C-section rate in our country right now, and that was a study done on certified professional midwives. A very large retrospective study. It was published a couple years ago in the British Medical Journal. And it basically showed that these midwives who specialize in home birth have the same, if not better, outcomes for healthy, low-risk mothers at home with, I forget exactly what the statistic was, but their C-section rate is under 5%, and they have an extraordinarily high maternal satisfaction rate, you know, healthy moms, healthy babies, the whole regards, but they still have a very low C-section rate. And I guess I also wanted to thank ICANN for their stance on home birth and, you know, their willingness to educate women that there are options out there that can help protect the health of their babies and themselves.
Erin, thank you so very much. We have less than a minute, Pam, if you just have some concluding remarks or maybe you want to give your website again.
Sure. Our website is www.icann-online.org. Send us an email, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you and send you any information, support that you might need.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Pamela Udy is president of the International Cesarean Awareness Network. She had two cesareans, delivered two of her children by C-section, but then her other three naturally. Talking about the growing rate, C-section rate in this country. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.